Voice of the Blue is brought to you by the American Police Hall of Fame in Titusville, Florida. Check them out at aphf.org.
The Police Hall of Fame and the United States Law Enforcement Foundation, where bold vision and hope align to create a better tomorrow for all law enforcement and the communities they serve by strong advocacy, hard and soft skills training and education, and their many programs of compassion. To learn more, please go to uslef.org or aphf.org.
16 is on scene.
Welcome to Voice of the Blue. I am Royce, your host, bringing you an intimate look at the men and women of the law enforcement profession through their stories, their service, their lives, and often through their own words. I don't have a special guest today, so I'll be speaking to you from the heart about some things that have been, what should I say, weighing heavily upon me. I've been taken to task about defending the police and that by people that it kind of shocked me that they would do such a thing. I've had people falsely accuse me of, quote unquote, backing the blue no matter what they do. And that is false. I've never lent my support to any criminal actions by any human being, regardless of their status or occupation. So let's just dispense with that right out of the bat here, okay? I am going to be speaking heavily about accountability. And it's something that we don't have much of these days, and it's not applied to the people that it really needs to be applied to. Now, along the lines of people saying that, well, you back the blue no matter what, I will say that I have seen multiple videos of police officers crossing the line, committing crimes even. A matter of fact, there was one recently who was caught planting drugs in people's cars and had done so many times, had a lot of people sent to prison due to his actions. Some of these videos were rather infuriating to watch. I don't like seeing my fellow citizens abused by people in uniform who never should have been hired in the first place. But you know what? Sometimes those kind, they, you know, somehow slip through the inspection process, the winnowing process. They get through and they are hired as police officers and end up doing bad things. Unfortunately, crime knows no boundaries. There are criminals and people who do lawless things in every profession in the world. And especially in the political world, but I'm not going to digress into that. But just like I've seen many videos of police officers doing bad things, and yes, some of them actually committing crimes, I've also seen just as many videos where those very officers were arrested by their fellow officers. They were held accountable for their actions. Some were fired, and some were even sent to prison. But again, I want to remind you, the people that arrested them were also police officers. Police officers not only police the citizenry, they police themselves. Now you say, well, yeah, a lot of those guys do a lot of bad things and get away with it. I understand that, but not for very long. Eventually, just like the common street criminal will be caught eventually, well, that's the same way when police officers do bad things. Yes, I totally admit and totally understand and totally accept the fact that this is a fact about the police profession. I've heard it said on many occasions in reference to such abuse incidents that cops can just do whatever they want. They're never held accountable. That isn't true. That's hyperbole. What we've all seen lately in the criminal justice system, conversely speaking, in various cities and states, is the criminals doing whatever they want and not being held accountable while the police are. This creates an almost intolerable and untenable position for law enforcement officers, for the good men and women of law enforcement, the ones who are servant-minded, the ones who believe in serving their community, the ones who do not cross the line. How many of them have been on the job for 20, 30 years and have not crossed that line, have never done anything wrong, have not committed an act of abuse, have not committed a crime against a citizen? How many of those, comparatively, do we see? When do we give them recognition? When do we stop looking at these abuse videos and broadly painting the entire profession as a bunch of criminals with badges? Because that is a false perception. It's a false presentation of law enforcement. So if you're wondering why Royce backs the blue, well, I back right. I don't back wrong. When police officers cross the line, yes, I am often one of the first ones to say, okay, that person needs to be held accountable. Why? Because they're sullying the profession for all those hundreds of thousands of police officers who are out there trying to do the right thing. That's why it's kind of, you know, what should I say? It gives me great satisfaction to see one of those officers who crossed the line arrested by their fellow officers. That is the police profession policing itself. Yes, even if they have to arrest their own. But when you see the criminals not held accountable, and I'm going to keep using that word, this also creates an exceedingly dangerous precedent and sets certain evil forces in motion that will do nothing but gain speed and culminate in a major societal epidemic of crime. And that is what we are dealing with right now. I don't ever want to paint the entire profession, any profession, with a broad brush of criminality just because of a few bad apples. When criminals are emboldened due to not having to reap any consequences for their actions, they're not held accountable. What happens then is many others of lesser moral character will also jump onto the bandwagon of crime, and lawlessness will flourish while the enforcement of the law weakens. When criminals are coddled and the police are denigrated and demeaned, we start seeing headlines like the following, and this is an article from The Blaze by Dave Urbanski. Man on parole accused of punching cop in the face, breaking his nose. Judge releases suspect with no bail. This is a young man who was not held accountable for assaulting and battering a police officer. Here's the article. A man with a long record who was out on parole is accused of punching a Yonkers, New York police officer in the face last week, breaking the cop's nose. But despite assault charges against the suspect and the district attorney requesting $150,000 bail, a judge decided to release the suspect without bail. Now, you know what's going to happen here, right? This man is now going to be emboldened to commit more crimes and assault more police officers, not to mention any innocent citizens he may encounter along the way. When the consequences are removed from criminal actions, well, the end result is quite predictable. But even more insidiously, this man, because of the decision of a soft judge, has become even more hardened and even more of a danger, not just to society, but now also to all the other police officers out there who will undoubtedly be engaging him in the not-too-distant future. The man is obviously antisocial, certainly anti-cop, because he hauled off and he belted a cop in the nose. Now, before you be going, oh, well, wait a minute, how do you know the cops might have been abusing the guy and he just had enough and hauled off and belted him? Let's read the rest of the article. Police answered a September 6th call concerning an unresponsive man on the sidewalk near Cypress Street and Yonkers Avenue, the station said. The Police Benevolent Association president, Keith Olson, said to WCBS, he said, they were incredibly professional. They were compassionate. They did everything right. And if you watch the video that's tagged to the article, you'll see that's true. So these men were being very professional. They were being compassionate with the man. They did everything right. Officers on the scene tried to convince 39-year-old Johnny McRae to sit in an ambulance, and then McRae, just out of the blue, suddenly hauled off and punched a male officer in the nose, the station said. Completely unprovoked, people. Nothing that they did would have given him a justifiable reason to strike this officer. If you think this is an isolated incident, then you're sadly ignorant of what these officers go through on a daily basis. They get assaulted, spat on, punched, kicked, bitten, shot at, cursed, and that's on a daily basis, daily, weekly, day in, day out. This is their profession. How many cops do this without becoming jaded? It's the ones that don't allow themselves to become jaded. I mean, that's mute testimony to their character. You say, well, yeah, Royce, what about all those YouTube videos of cops using excessive force? Okay, what about all the YouTube videos showing all the other officers who have not done that, the ones who have acted heroically and saved people? And again, I'm going to reference all the other YouTube videos connected to those other YouTube videos that show those cops being held accountable. What about that? Why is that never referenced? And again, why is it never referenced that it is the police officers themselves who arrest even their fellow police officers when they cross the line? Why does that not count for anything? What? I am definitely all for holding cops accountable. I'm all for holding everyone accountable. Even myself, I hold my sons accountable. I hold myself accountable. And yes, when criminals cross the line, they need to be held accountable too. So, yes, I'm all for accountability, but not one-sided and only against the police. Everyone needs to be held accountable. Back to the article, Olson said the entire incident was caught on body cam. McRae was charged with assault, the station said, adding that the district attorney asked for $150,000 bond. In other words, the DA wanted to hold the man accountable. But police said Judge Maurice Williams released McRae without bail, WCBS reported. Yonkers Police Commissioner Chris Sapienza told the station, he said, the message it sends to me is that judge values that suspect more than he values our police officers. Do you understand the sentiment here? Are you grasping this? The police officers are almost, I mean, this action makes them look stupid. This action by this judge. They've gone to all this trouble to put themselves in harm's way and get punched in the face by people like this. And then the judge says, oh, okay, no bail. You can go ahead and walk free on your own recognizance. Mr. Sapienza also added, he says, for him to just let out a violent suspect under those circumstances is irresponsible, and I agree with that. It's exceedingly irresponsible of that judge to do something like that. What does that do now for the spirit within all the other officers out there who are out there daily putting themselves in harm's way, daily dealing with the criminal element? What does that do to them? What does that do to their morale? The injured cop is on leave. Mayor Mike Spano told WCBS, the judge's decision is fallout from a soft-on-crime attitude and that sentiment permeates throughout the system. What's going on here is criminals are not being held accountable. Everyone needs to be held accountable for their actions. Well, that cop is on injured leave. But there's another cop in Los Angeles who didn't make it home a few days ago. 2 days ago, actually yesterday. This is another article from The Blaze. Adored L.A. Sheriff's deputy ambushed, fatally shot in the head while sitting in patrol car only days after getting engaged. A Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy was shot and killed in a suspected ambush attack on Saturday night. According to police, Deputy Ryan Klinkenbrumer, age 30, was found unconscious around 6 p.m. by a passerby in Palmdale, California, about 60 miles northeast of Los Angeles. The citizen allegedly discovered Klinkenbrumer inside his patrol car in medical distress near the Palmdale Sheriff's Station. The individual reportedly went to the station to inform police of the wounded officer. Klinkenbrumer was initially taken to the hospital in his cruiser, but an ambulance caught up with the vehicle and rushed the wounded deputy to Antelope Valley Medical Center in Lancaster. He was initially listed in critical condition before later dying at the hospital from a gunshot wound to the back of his head. Klinkenbrumer joined LASD's Palmdale station in 2018 and served as a field training officer for nearly 2 years. He was a third-generation deputy, following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather. L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna, he said service was running through his veins. He embodied the values of bravery, selflessness, and committed to justice. Our deputy was a devoted member and a cherished community member. Klinkenbrumer leaves behind his fiancée, his parents, and grandparents. He got engaged to his girlfriend just 4 days before his tragic death. Sheriff Luna stated, "Our hearts go out to his family. We cannot fully understand their pain, but we will stand with them in solidarity and support them during this difficult time. They deserve unwavering compassion, and we will do everything in our power to provide them with assistance and care. From everything I know about Ryan, people absolutely loved and adored him." Luna believes that the ambush killing was a targeted shooting. He said, "I think it was targeted act because on what we now know, but we're still in the extremely early stages of this investigation. It could have been just the fact that he was representing the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department as one of our employees. We just don't know." He said, "I'm assuming at this point it was because he was in uniform, and that to me is sickening." The sheriff said Klinkenbrumer was just driving down the street when somebody decided to shoot and murder him. For all of you out there that constantly harangue the police and claim they're never held accountable, for all of you that always denigrate them or think of the profession as less than what it is, for those of you that have called me just a cop-loving bleepity blanker, as I got in one email, let me ask you something. Did this deputy deserve this? Huh? Did he deserve to be murdered simply because of the uniform he wore? Did he earn this somehow? Did he deserve to be ambushed and shot down, executed literally with a gunshot wound to the back of the head? Did he deserve this simply because he was a cop and he wore the badge? What did he ever need to be held accountable for? Now, this probably has a lot to do with the anti-police sentiment that is daily propagated in the media and other places. And I do believe that had a, maybe that was something that was involved with us. I don't know. We don't know yet. As the sheriff said, it's still very early in the investigation. But you understand, this man left his house that morning thinking he would be maybe going out to dinner with his fiance that night. I mean, had all of his family, his parents, his grandparents, was very loved by the community. How is it that he deserved this? Yeah, oh, come on, Royce. We didn't say he deserved it. We just want to see accountability. Okay. I want to see the murderer held accountable. I hear there's been an arrest in this case, and I hope they got the guy. What I don't like is the fact that this anti-cop sentiment has permeated our society now. And I've actually read comments associated with this article talking about how he deserved it somehow. And talk about how another totalitarian bites the dust. I've got words for all of you, and they're not very kind, and I'm not going to utter them on this podcast, but I will pray for your soul. People, we cannot let a few bad apples in any profession jade us against the righteousness of that profession, and it is a righteous profession. Yes, I understand there are issues. Yes, I understand there are constitutional issues sometimes, but there is a process. And the process is not to punch a cop in the nose or shoot a cop in the back of the head. That's not the process. Let's pray for our men and women in blue. Let's have a prayer for them. Let's pray for them daily. I mean, again, look what they face on a daily basis. Stuff just like everything we've read about in these two articles. They're assaulted, they're battered, and they're murdered simply because of the uniform they wear and the badge they wear. And yet every day they get up and they go do their job. Keep them in your prayers. Lord, we pray for those who still stand on that blue line. Watch over them today. Let not today be their end of watch. Watch over their families while they're out on the streets protecting society. And may God have mercy upon them and their families as they go forward each day. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we thank you. Amen. I'll catch you on the next episode of Voice of the Blue. Thank you for joining me today.